There's that funky game show music, and I am Cy Kellett, your game show host this hour. It's time for the Catholic Answers quiz show, the name of which is, what is the name of this show? I never know it anymore. We just don't, it's just called Catholic Answers Game Show. That's it. I love it. That's what, okay. And our super secret celebrity guest is, drum roll, it's Carlo Broussard. Hi, Carlo.
Hey, Cy. I think the name works.
Catholic Answers Game Show?
That's it, brother. No ambiguity whatsoever. You don't have to figure it out.
Well, then the description just underneath self-evident. It is like a game show brought to you by Catholic Answers. This is all. I feel like we should have a better name. But all right, okay. It's the Catholic
it's
Answers
sticking.
Game Show. It is sticking. That's true. Carlo is an apologist here at Catholic Answers, a speaker extraordinaire, the author of 3 books so far. Probably feels like more to you because you have books that are unpublished, huh?
I do not have books unpublished. I have material that could be published books.
Yeah, yeah. The latest book is Purgatory is for Real.
That is right.
Thanks for being here with us, Carlo.
Well, thanks for having me.
And have you been working on your Pig Latin skills at all?
I have not.
Okay.
I was saving it up for you guys because it wouldn't be funny if I were practicing and making it.
We have 2 contestants on the line. Contestants come from the Catholic Answers Radio Club. The way you join Radio Club is you just join Radio Club. You go to...
Kind of like the Catholic Answers game show. It's just a game show. Join Radio Club. Radio Club.
It's free, and you get free stuff. They are very much alike. They're both free. You can get free stuff from both of them. Our first contestant is Anthony. Anthony, are you there on the line with us?
Yes, I am.
Hello, Anthony. Where are you, and what's interesting about you?
Well, I am in Charlestown, West Virginia. What's interesting about me? Well, in all humility, there's nothing actually all that interesting about me, but there's certainly a lot interesting about the gifts the Lord has placed before me.
Oh.
So I work for a Catholic IT company.
Oh, you do?
Which puts me in contact. I do, yep. Puts me in touch with a lot of just really amazing people, lots of teachers, lots of Catholic parishes, so I get to interact with a lot of priests.
Can you say the name?
I'm not doing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Can you?
No, that's cool. Yes, the name is Manu Stei.
And
for all you Latin scholars out there, Manus Dei.
Dei is God. So Manus. Yeah. I wish I had Manus. Jimmy here. All right, go ahead. What does translate that into English for me, Anthony?
Hand of God.
That's what I was going to say, hand of God. But okay. All right. We got to get...
Oh, man, this is so good.
We got to say hello to Doris now. Hi, Doris. Are you there with us?
I'm here.
And where are you, and what's interesting about you, Doris?
I'm just outside of Dallas in North City, Texas, and I'm a mother of 6. I've been married 39 years, and I teach second grade faith formation. Been doing that for more than 20 years.
Well, beautiful. You teach second grade. Where do you at a parish school or at a?
Yeah, St. Anthony's in Wiley.
I know some software, some Catholic software you might be interested in from a company called Manus Dei Catholic Software. I'll hook you up with my friend Anthony, who's a representative. Thank you both. All right, so it's West Virginia against Texas.
I guess actually, Cy. Actually,
Anthony's from Texas originally.
Oh, you're from
wow.
Texas.
Oh,
yeah, I'm from Dallas. So okay. This is good stuff.
Yeah, Cy. I will say, I think Anthony's ahead of us. We're actually a point behind on the game show.
Oh yeah, because he asked us a question.
He asked us a question. So it's the Anthony game show now.
I knew the answer. I just wanted to look humble.
Oh no.
All right, so I'm going to, you'll hear me do this throughout the program. I'll accidentally begin to give out the phone number, but no one can call because this is the game show. However, I will now give you the game show rules. I will then ask Anthony and Doris if they understand the rules, and then we will start playing. It is time to play the Catholic Answers game show. Gather the kids, get some pencils and paper out, get grandma and grandpa up. It is a fun event for the whole family, and here are the rules. There are 3 rounds in the Catholic Answers game show. The first 2 rounds are multiple choice, and at the end of those 2 rounds, we will declare I won't say the way I was going to say it. We'll say goodbye to one of our guests. I will bid them a fond goodbye.
It's so hard say goodbye.
Carlo's a really good singer. Go ahead. Oh, I was starting to get hypnotized. Our other contestant, the one who has the most points after the first 2 rounds, will go on to their final judgment. All that clear so far, Anthony and Doris?
Yep.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. However, in the first two rounds, you will also have some afterlife lines. That's what we call them here, afterlife lines, or maybe we should call them eternal lifelines. They are this. You can ask Carlo to eliminate one wrong answer. That will just leave you with a 50-50 choice. So you'll get an A, B, a C. You can ask Carlo to eliminate one wrong answer, and then you just pick from what is left. The other one is you can just ask Carlo to give you the correct answer. All right, you get one of each, and once you have used it, it is done, and you cannot save them for the final round. You got to use them in rounds one or two. All clear?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, and there is one catch. Do you know the catch? Does either of you know the catch?
Something about pig Latin, I think.
You are correct, Anthony. When Carlo gives you the correct answer, he will give it to you in pig Latin. Okay, so you...
See, I do know some Latin. At least a version of Latin.
You know, the pig kind.
The pig kind.
The pig kind.
At least I don't know if I know it. I'm just kind of like...
Okay, so Anthony will be contestant number one. Doris will be contestant number two. That will have no import at all unless we are tied after the first two rounds, in which contestant number one gets to pick one of these two boxes that's on the desk with me, either A or B, and then we open that up to see which of you goes on to the final round. I believe we have concluded the reading of the... rules. We are ready to play. I hope Grandma and Grandpa are there. I hope all the kids are gathered around the table. You got a nice sharp pencil and a piece of paper. Anthony, are you ready for your first question?
Yes, sir.
Anthony. Oh, by the way, this is one other kind of rule of the game. You got to let me read the question twice because people are playing at home and they need a chance to come up with their answer. All right. Here's your question, Anthony. Consubstantiation is A, the Catholic doctrine that says Jesus is present with the bread and the wine of the Eucharist. B, not a Catholic doctrine. C, the teaching that the teaching that Jesus and the Father share the same substance. Anthony, consubstantiation is A, the Catholic doctrine that says Jesus is present with the bread and wine of the Eucharist. B, not a Catholic doctrine. Or C, the teaching that Jesus and the Father share the same substance.
Ooh. Oh, boy. Okay. I am going to go with D because of the creed.
Wait, you're going to go with which?
C, consubstantiation, in as much as the creed uses the word consubstantial.
Oh, man. Si, you came out swinging, bro.
I know. That was such a hard question. Anthony.
So consubstantiation, Anthony, refers to a Lutheran understanding of the Eucharist, which is the belief that Jesus is present alongside or with the bread and the wine. In other words, the bread and the wine still remain, although Jesus is in a unique way present there with the bread and wine, in contrast to transubstantiation, which is the Catholic belief that the bread and wine entirely cease to exist and only the flesh and blood of Jesus is present. So the right answer would be B, not a Catholic doctrine.
Sorry, Anthony. And Doris.
That's a trippy one,
I'm sorry,
because
for the
we
next
do
question
say
too,
consubstantial
Doris.
With the Father.
That's
right.
It was evil of me to do that. You know, it's funny because I gave the quiz to everybody here to read, and then Carlo corrects my errors in the quiz. There was only one error this time, or one question you didn't like. But they all said, wow, this quiz is way harder than you usually do. So sorry about that, Anthony and
just
Doris.
Just one clarification for I didn't catch this on the preview, by the way. For our listeners out there, 4C, the teaching that Jesus and the Father share the same substance, the Catholic understanding of consubstantial, Jesus being consubstantial with the Father, is not that they share the same substance, but they are of one substance. So sharing would imply like taking part of. But Jesus and the Father are both identical to the divine substance. So just a bit of a clarification there for our listeners.
All right. What do you want me to do, Nick? Okay, I don't know. I thought he was telling me to take a break. Okay, Doris, we're going to get you your first question after the break. It's super hard, so if you're not there when we get back, I'll understand that you got upset and left. No, please hang on, Doris. We're going to have fun right after this.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Why do we need to pray? We don't pray because God needs our prayers. We pray because we need God's grace. And every day when I face the day, I realize I have no idea what I'm doing. And I need God to walk me through my day, step by step, giving me the grace, the counsel, the love, the encouragement that enables me to glorify Him in everything that I do and become the person He wants me to be. Prayer is my lifeline.
Welcome back. It's the Catholic Answers Game Show. We do it from time to time. And I never know whether the questions are too hard or too easy. Apparently, they're too hard this time, according to everybody who has read the quiz. Carlo Broussard is our super secret guest. Anthony and Doris are playing for our fabulous room full of gifts and prizes. And Doris, here is your first question. Just a quick reminder to both of you. Let me ask the question twice so that those playing at home have a chance to process the question and make their choice. Doris, your first question is this. Divinization is A, the Christian teaching that we shall be made like God. B, the Christian teaching that the Eucharist becomes God. Or C, actually, a Buddhist teaching having nothing to do, having to do with us all being part of God. So let me ask that again, Doris. Divinization is A, the Christian teaching that we shall be made like God. B, the Christian teaching that the Eucharist becomes God. Or C, actually, a Buddhist teaching having to do with us all being part of God. Did Doris leave? I think she might have quit.
Can I go with C?
That's the wrong one. Yeah, good try.
I feel truly terrible right
least,
now.
At least they're one for one, right?
I've never started out this bad with my question.
It's a clean slate.
I feel
right
terrible.
Now, right? Yeah, the correct answer is A, the Christian teaching that we shall be made like God. So the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 1988, quotes St. Athanasius, talking about how when the Spirit dwells within us, we are divinized. And what that refers to is being made partakers of the divine nature, as St. Peter writes in 2 Peter 1:4. Now, that is to be contrasted with divination.
We should
not confuse divinization with divination, which refers to occultic practices.
Finding water with a stick or something.
You
never heard of that?
No, I don't know. Yeah. That's kind of like going over my bald head here, slipping off. It has to do with recourse to Satan, conjuring up the dead, occultic practices. And the Catechism forbids that, paragraph 2116.
All right, let's just start fresh. Let's pretend like I didn't write those two questions. All right, Anthony, contestant number one, here is your second question. Anthony, material cooperation with evil is A, always sinful, B, not always sinful, C, not always a mortal sin, but always at least a venial sin. Anthony, material cooperation with evil is A, always sinful, B, not always sinful, C, not always a mortal sin, but always at least a venial sin.
Okay. I thought too hard about the first one, so I'm going to go for C again.
Oh, no. Oh. Yeah. Oh, if, God. Think about
this. He said, oh! Wait, thank you, Homer.
If material cooperation were always sinful in some degree, then Jesus would have been wrong in Mark 12:17 when he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's.
Yeah.
So there are circumstances where material cooperation is not sinful when it is remote, right? And the previous hour, y'all talking about the vaccinations and having continuity with cells from aborted babies time ago, that the church has judged that that would be remote enough of material cooperation that it would not constitute a sinful act to engage in under other conditions as well.
He might have been thinking of formal cooperation of evil, which is
always evil.
Always sinful, okay, Doris, your question number two. I'm feeling so insecure about my quiz now. Doris, question number two is this. The conditions for a mortal sin are usually given as A, grave matter, full knowledge, and consent of the will, or B, malice, pride, and lust, or C, the age of reason and full knowledge of the teaching of Jesus. Doris, once again, the conditions for a mortal sin are usually given as A, grave matter, full knowledge, and consent of the will, B, malice, pride, and lust, or C, the age of reason and full knowledge of the teaching of Jesus.
It's A.
Yay! Good job, Doris. Fantastic. She got it, Si.
My heart is just pounding.
That was
that was
actually
a hard one.
That was actually, B's pretty obvious, right? Because malice, pride, and lust, those are not conditions for sin. Those are sins, right? But your C option, that could have threw somebody for a curveball there because you said the age of reason and full knowledge. But what's missing there is the grave matter aspect. Right?
If she had, just so I know, if she had said, give me the 50-50, Carlo, would you have taken away B or C?
I would have taken away C.
Oh, you're nice. All right.
Good job, Doris.
Congratulations, Doris. Your second question, your final question of round one, Anthony, and then we'll add up and see where we are. Anthony, the office of cardinal is A, one of the levels of holy orders instituted by Christ, B, an office instituted over time by the church, or C, an office reserved only to bishops. Anthony, the Catholic office of cardinal is A, one of the levels of holy orders instituted by Christ, B, an office instituted over time by the church, or C, an office reserved only to bishops.
This is going to be B.
That's correct. Good job.
I am feeling so much better now. You had no doubt about that one, Anthony.
Well, considering I didn't have any doubt about the first two either.
I guess you're just not a self-doubting person.
Well, yeah.
Anyone want to say anything about that, Carlo?
Just the fact that if my memory serves me correct, and if I'm correct here, I think it goes back to the 8th century. That's where we have cardinals being constituted as a privileged class among Roman clergy. So mid 8th century, I think it was. So over time, yes, institution developed over time. Yes, not something that's part of the holy orders and the rank of authority as instituted by Christ.
I'm impressed that he knew it wasn't reserved to bishops only, though. Most people think you have to be a bishop to be a cardinal, but you don't.
That's not the case, man.
Doris, your final question of round one, and then we'll add up the score, see how we're doing. Doris, the oldest... Oh, my goodness. Why did I write this question? This is hard. Doris, the oldest existing written copy of a biblical book. The oldest existing written copy of a biblical book dates to A, roughly the 5th century AD, B, about the time of Christ, or C, at least 100 years before Christ. Doris, the oldest existing written copy of a biblical book dates to A, roughly the 5th century AD, B, about the time of Christ, or C, at least 100 years before Christ.
I'm going to go with C.
Whoa! Wow, why did you say I'm going to go with C? You didn't even use a lifeline. You're just like, I'm going to go with C. Just all caution to the wind. Wow, that's impressive. She said it's got to be old.
Yeah, well, did you notice this, Si?
What?
Among the three answers that you gave, C is the oldest.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Right.
Doris, did you pick up on that?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I went with it.
Woo-hoo! All right. So, but we haven't always had it's only recently that we have a book that from that far ago. It was only discovered, I think, in 1947.
Right.
Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yeah.
Entire book of Isaiah.
Yeah, it could have been the fact that the oldest we happen to have is the 5th century AD or something. But it happens to be 100 years before Christ.
Yeah, 100 years before Christ, the Dead Sea Scrolls. I learned that from John Bergsma's book about the Dead Sea Scrolls. Wait, go ahead.
So what was the answer? What is the answer?
See, at least 100 years before Christ. You got it right.
He was talking about Isaiah Scroll from the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Are you taking breaks, Doris, while we're doing this show? Or are you just wandering off every now and then? Or
No.
Okay, I just want to be sure. What's the score? Where's assistant producer Marie? What's the score? Oh, it's on the board? Oh, I'm supposed to look. Okay, 2-1 right now. Oh, you're only down by one, Anthony.
Okay, I can do this. I can do this.
Yes, you can.
I got to make a caveat here. I realize that what I said sounds pretty idiotic.
No,
but,
it didn't.
But the reason why I made that comment is because in my mind, I was thinking we have copies of manuscripts from the 5th century. We have copies from the time of Christ. So the remaining answer is 100 years before Christ. So that's the oldest existing, right?
Right.
But I can see how if you didn't know that you had copies dating from the 5th century and the time of Christ, it would be hard to answer that.
Exactly. I was afraid, as I was reading the question, that Doris was going to think I was talking about the New Testament. She's going to be like, oh, well, it can't be before Christ. But no, you did all right, Doris.
Amen.
We're on to round two. You both have lifelines that you have not used. And so I want to remind you, you only get three questions here. So you got to use your two lifelines. One of them is a 50-50. And the other one, you are actually required by the laws of the state of California to use, which is make Carlos say something in Pig Latin. Are you both familiar with that law?
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
That would seem to fit and cohere with general run-of-the-mill of laws and
of the state of California. Yeah, there's a lot of weird laws in the state of California. You could believe that.
Is that safe to say over there?
Yeah, it's okay. We don't have any listeners in California because we got fired. I'm sorry, but that's actually true. All right, Anthony. Here is question number one, round two. Anthony, souls in purgatory, A, can benefit from our acts of charity. B, can only benefit from our prayers and fasting. Or C, cannot experience the love of God until they get out. Anthony, the souls in purgatory, A, can benefit from our acts of charity. B, can only benefit from our prayers and fasting, or C, cannot experience the love of God until they get out.
I'm going to go with A on this one.
Good job, Anthony. You got it, brother. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, not only prayers and fasting, but even acts of charity, and this would be within the form of an indulgence, right? When we gain an indulgence for the departed, requesting that God, through the intercessory prayer of the church, would remit some or all of the temporal punishment remaining for the departed soul. And so we can offer up those acts of charity when the church deems an act of charity as being an indulgence that we could gain for the departed, the faithful departed.
All right. Now, look, though, Anthony, you have to use a lifeline on each of the last two questions. You got it?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you. Yes, sir. That's what I was looking for. That's exactly the attitude I was looking for. All right. Up next, Doris, souls in purgatory experience. A, joy. B, suffering. C, both joy and suffering. Doris, souls in purgatory experience A, joy. B, suffering. Or C, both joy and suffering.
I'm going to go with ask for elimination.
An elimination. All right. So I will eliminate B.
So that leaves you with two choices, either A, joy, or B, both joy and suffering. Oh, excuse me, C, both joy and suffering.
I'm going to go with C.
All right. Good job, Doris. That is correct. Both joy and suffering. This is something I talk about in my book.
Purgatory is for real. Good news about the afterlife for those who aren't perfect yet. Available now at shop.catholic.com.
Ooh, that was very well executed, brother.
I did good on that.
Yes, sir.
We should, but you know what? Since they both got a purgatory question right, let's give them each a free copy of
your book. That's great. Thank you.
So, we never do this, but we're giving away a free gift right in the middle of the game show. Anthony and Doris, you each have just won your own copy of Purgatory is for Real. Good news about the afterlife for those who aren't perfect yet. Available now at shop.catholic.com. Does that make you feel good?
Yes, thank you.
Great. You're making up for those first two hard questions that you gave.
I don't know if there's any way I can make up with for how bad this quiz is. Even the people at Facebook are mad at me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, we have a lot of people.
Well, that must be serious madness going on.
People play along on Facebook while you guys. I shouldn't say this. Now you're going to look at Facebook to see what the answer is. But don't cheat, the two of you, all right? Because purgatory is for real.
I never thought of that.
But I'm sorry, everyone on Facebook. I realize I wrote a lot of really hard and strange questions. Carlo Broussard is our guest. It's the Catholic Answers Game Show. Anthony and Doris are our contestants. More to come right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
If you spend any time on Twitter, Facebook, or mainstream media, you're probably familiar with the litany of slogans that skeptics employ to rescue you from the foolish belief that God exists. The constant onslaught seems to leave people with the idea that they have no alternative but to embrace atheism. How can a Christian respond? In One Less God Than You, John DeRosa breaks down 20 of the most common atheist challenges and shows you how to craft effective answers. Atheism is more aggressive and widespread than ever. Read One Less God Than You and prepare yourself to respond with the joyful truth that God is real. To get your copy of One Less God Than You, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
To many people, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the Church. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I'll give you the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Have you subscribed to the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter? This is Catholic Answers Live host Cy Kellett, and I want to tell you about our new weekly newsletter full of behind-the-scenes information and facts you need to know about the show. It's easy to sign up. Just visit CatholicAnswersLive.com and look for the newsletter sign-up box on the front of the page. It's a great way to keep up to date with what's happening with the show and see what's coming in the days ahead, delivered weekly into your inbox. Sign up today for the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter and see what you've been missing. Go to CatholicAnswersLive.com. When you hear that music, you know it's time. Catholic Answers Game Show. I'm Cy Kellett, your game show host, and I love being a game show host. I love being a game show host. I want us to turn this into a TV show and then convince EW10 to run it every night at 7 o'clock up against Jeopardy so that
we could
compete with Jeopardy. And you could be on it, Carlo.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah, you could be on
it. Then we could get people in the audience like, screaming and running down.
I want all of that to happen.
You get the long little microphone that you can hold, like, you know, like Bob Parker used to use.
Exactly right. We're back to reality from that little jaunt into our fantasy life. Our guests are Anthony and Doris. Anthony in West Virginia sells Catholic software, and it's under the name of Manus Dei. And Doris is a second grade teacher. And were you guys ready for more questions, Doris and Anthony?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad I was able to wake you up. Here we go. Question number two of round one. Anthony, this is your second question. Your second question of round two. By original sin, humanity has been A, totally corrupted, B, deeply wounded, C, deprived of any sense of right and wrong. Anthony, by original sin, humanity has been A, totally corrupted, B, deeply wounded, or C, deprived of any sense of right and wrong.
All right, so, yes, lifeline. Elimination lifeline.
All right, let's see here. Let's say C. I'll eliminate C.
So either original sin has totally corrupted humanity or deeply wounded humanity. What do you say, Anthony?
B.
Good job, brother. That's right. Not totally corrupted. You can check out paragraph 405 in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, where it says human nature has not been totally corrupted. It is wounded, however, it goes on to say, in the natural powers proper to it. So not totally corrupted, but wounded. So good job.
All right. Looking at a tie right now. I don't know what's going on the scoreboard. That is making no sense to me. But here's your second question, Doris. Second question of round two for Doris. Doris, this is a long one. It has a lot of words in it. One reason in vitro fertilization is morally unacceptable is A, God creates life without our cooperation and we cannot interfere with that. B, in vitro fertilization separates a child's conception from the conjugal act of its parents. Or C, there is no certainty that artificially conceived children will have a soul. Doris, here's your question again. One reason in vitro fertilization is morally unacceptable is A, God creates life without our cooperation, and we cannot interfere with that. B, in vitro fertilization separates a child's conception from the conjugal act of its parents. Or B, there is no certainty that an artificially conceived child will have a soul.
C, that was C.
Oh, did I say B? Oh, C, sorry. Do I need to read it again, Doris?
No, I've got it. I'm going to go with B.
Good job, Doris. IVF wow. separates a child's conception from the conjugal act of its parents. This is exactly what the Catechism says in paragraph 2376, referring to such activity as infringing the child's right to be born of a father and mother known to him and bound to each other by marriage. And for our listeners out there, and also for Anthony and Doris, there's a great paper that was written by a philosopher named Irene Alexander. And the title is Artificial Impregnation Opposed to the Unity of Marriage? A New Look at the Question of Embryo Adoption. And it's relevant to this question in the journal Nova et Vetera, volume 16, number 1, 2018. So for our listeners out there, I would highly recommend that journal article to read on this topic and other related issues as well.
Can I just mention two things? First of all, I'm very glad she didn't pick A because it's God. We don't say God creates life without our cooperation. Matter of fact, that's what parents are called to do is cooperate with God.
That's right.
But I really want to emphasize that the last one is absolutely inimical to Catholic teaching about human life. Every human being has a soul.
That's right, from the moment of conception.
Right, right. No matter how the child was conceived.
Correct.
Every human being is a precious child of God with a soul. All right, last question of round three, and then we'll add up all the numbers and see who's going on to their final judgment. This is your last question, and you must use the Pig Latin Lifeline by California law, Anthony. Anthony, anointing of the sick is A, taught only in Mark's gospel, B, taught in the letter of James, or C, a practice that is not directly taught in the New Testament. Anthony, anointing of the sick is A, taught only in Mark's gospel, B, taught in the letter of James, or C, a practice that is not directly taught in the New Testament.
Well, I'm actually kind of glad I have a lifeline for this one. So, yeah, let's use it.
All right, lifeline. Carly, you have to give him the correct answer, but you must do so in Pig Latin.
All right, here we go. Aute, ine, hete, eterle, foe, amesje.
You have been practicing. That's like your best
Bam,
Pig
baby.
Latin yet.
Woohoo!
Could you tell what that one was?
Yes, that taught in the letter of James.
Excellente.
You are correct. Tell
Did
us
you
about
catch
it,
that? Excellente.
Excellente.
Oh. I'm getting it, brother. I'm getting it. Let's go. As everybody says. Yeah. No, James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, right? That's where James gives instruction. If any of you is sick, call in a presbyter, call in the presbyter of the church to anoint him with oil, pray a prayer of faith. If he has any sins, his sins will be forgiven him. Mark chapter 6 is a passage that has often been appealed to by some theologians as the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. However, that's a little bit disputed and debated whether that is actually referring to the sacrament itself or just Jesus giving them the power to heal the sick. But you do have the emphasis on the anointing with the oil.
Yeah.
So that is something that they were doing. And, you know, I'm sympathetic to that verse being a biblical basis for that. But it's very clear in James. You definitely have a sacramental reading there.
Right.
That also involves the confessing of sins. So you have James 5, 14 through 16 as a biblical passage that's pointing to both sacrament of the anointing of the sick as well as the sacrament of reconciliation.
Nice job on that one, Anthony. Doris, your last question of round three, also an anointing of the sick question. Here we go. Anointing of the sick can be received, A, only when death is imminent, B, only three times in a person's life, or C, as many times as is needed. Doris, anointing of the sick can be received, A, only when death is imminent, B, only three times in a person's lifetime, or C, as many times as is needed.
Well, I need to use my pig Latin.
You do. By California law, you need to use your pig Latin lifeline.
Okay.
So.
All right, here we go. I'm on a roll, man. Two pig Latins in a row. You ready, Doris?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Sae, anime, imeste, sae, sie, ididne.
All right, Doris, there's your answer. Do you need me to read the question again, or you got it?
No, I'm going with C.
As many times as is needed. Congratulations, Doris.
What does it do, the sacrament of anointing of the sick?
Well, it provides the graces that one needs primarily in order to get through the sickness and persevere through the sickness with faith and trust in God, as well as a prayer involved in requesting God to heal the individual, if in fact that is God's will and his order of providence.
All right, after two rounds, we need the supercomputer to add up the score, please. And the supercomputer is churning out. Oh, it turns out that Doris is one ahead after two rounds. Doris has won the first two rounds. That means we have to say thank you and goodbye, Anthony.
That's all right. Thanks, guys. It was a lot of fun. Good luck, Doris.
Well, Anthony, before you go, we've given you a copy of Carlo's book, Purgatory is for Real, Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet. But Carlo has two more books. Let's give him all three of your books, Carlo.
Let's do it, man. I'm feeling generous.
All right, Anthony, we're going to send you all three of Carlo's books, Prepare the Way, Purgatory is for Real, and Meeting the Protestant Challenge. Thanks, Anthony. You were actually a great guest. That was a terrible quiz, though.
It was fun, brother. Thank you for participating.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and then Doris, it's time for your final judgment.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Once you lose faith, if somebody does something to you and hurts you one time, two times, three times, four times, St. Peter thought seven was a good number. How often should I forgive my brother, Lord? Seven times? My Lord said, no. 70 times 7 times a day.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at ewtnrc.com.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Game Show, the highlight of every month. Actually, that would mean you're not having a very good month. This was the highlight of every month. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host in the studio with Carlo Broussard, apologist here at Catholic Answers, author of multiple books, including his most recent one, Purgatory is for Real, Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet. Carlo, thanks as always for doing the show with us.
You're welcome, Cy. Thanks for having me. It's always a lot of fun, man.
Yeah.
It is. one of the highlights of my month.
Is it really?
It is.
Wow,
brother.
That's nice. Where would you rate it on the scale of if you had you could get Thomas Aquinas cookies mailed to you by Elizabeth Schrader in Oklahoma? Or you could do
come
the game
on, man.
Show
that's
us.
A loaded question, brother.
No, it's not. You take the cookies. That's,
how about the
Catholic?
How about this? The Catholic, both and, baby.
Oh, yes. That's what we Catholics love. Are we okay with Doris? Can Doris hear us? Oh, okay.
Oh, all right. No.
We're going to get Doris. Don't worry. We're going to get Doris. She's coming back. She's coming back. We're going to get Doris here.
We lost Doris momentarily over the break,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
So let me explain what's going to happen in Doris's final judgment. What we're going to do is we're going to look at Doris's entire life and judge whether or not she can go to – oh, no, that's not it. Oh, it's seven true or false questions. That's what it is. Hi, Doris. You there with us? Hi, Doris.
Hey.
Oh, there she is. Okay. Whew. All right. We finally heard you. We had some technical problems, Doris.
We thought that final judgment was harsher than expected for you.
I was worried.
All right. Doris, here's how it works. Final judgment. And congratulations on making it here to your final judgment. I'm going to ask you seven true or false questions. For each question, you have the chance to win a prize. And if you get all seven of them correct, you win something. What does she win? She gets you get a free course in our School of Apologetics, Beginning Apologetics with Jimmy Akin. So you ready to start?
Yep, I'm
all right.
Ready.
No lifelines on this one. It's just true or false. The first one you are playing for, it's a book by our good friend John DeRosa. Our good friend John DeRosa, who wrote a magnificent book called One Less God Than You.
I affirm that.
Yeah, it's
good
a very
friend
good
of
book.
Mine.
Right. Doris, true or false, the human... I'm going to say this one slowly. True or false, Doris, the human intellect of Jesus is infinite. Oh, I read it twice, yes. True or false, the human intellect of Jesus is infinite.
I'm gonna go with false.
Good job, Doris.
Why are you insulting Jesus like that, Doris?
That's,
why would you
that's
do that?
Actually, I could see how somebody might get tripped up on that question. I'm very proud of Doris for getting that. Good job. Kudos to her.
Wait, Doris, why do you say that the human intellect of Jesus is not infinite?
He was truly human.
That's right. Human intellect means finite intellect.
No.
His divine intellect is had by virtue of his divine nature. So then the next question is, how many intellects? Two. Divine, human.
All right. Well, I wish we had a question here about the will, Jesus' will. Oh, look, we do. All right. Question number two. Oh, you're playing for Secrets from Heaven by Father Sebastian Walsh.
Fantastic.
I hope you win this one, Doris. Doris, true or false, the human will of Jesus is perfect. Doris, true or false, the human will of Jesus is perfect.
True.
Amen to that.
No hesitation.
Amen. I don't want to be following no Jesus who ain't perfect.
I like it. That is a true Cajun expression of Christian faith.
And what's interesting about Jesus' human will being perfect, so you might ask, well, how is that different from the Blessed Mother's will? She was perfect throughout her whole life, right? Whereas for Mary, she had the potential to sin, although by God's grace did not in fact sin. Jesus didn't even have the potential to sin because he is the incarnate Word. By virtue of the hypostatic union of the human will being joined to the second person of the Blessed Trinity, he doesn't even have the potential to sin. And so that's why his human will is perfect.
Would you say he always does what his Father wills?
He always does what his Father will.
Question number three, true or false, Doris? Oh, by the way, on this question, you're playing for Pope Peter, the wonderful book by Joe Heschmeyer. True or false, Doris, by nature, Jesus is infinitely higher than Mary. True or false, Doris, by nature, Jesus is infinitely higher than Mary.
Go with false.
Oh, the answer is true there. I think the by nature thing kind of threw her off. If you would have just said Jesus is infinitely higher than Mary, I think Doris would have got that.
That would be true. Yeah.
Yeah, but even by nature, I mean, although his human nature is on the side of creation, like human intellect, human will that's on the side of creation, as Mary's intellect, Mary's will, and her human nature. But because of the hypostatic union of that human nature being joined to the second person of the Blessed Trinity, we say by nature Jesus is infinitely higher because he is indeed God. The subject of action, the person, is none other than the second person of the Trinity. This is why we worship Jesus, we even as the Son made flesh, yeah. Right?
And we never worship
him,
Mary.
But we never worship Mary.
Okay, Doris?
Okay, yep.
That one you were playing for Pope Peter by Joe Heschmeyer, it's a very, very good book, and now you're not going to get it. I'm sorry. I don't know why I say that when people don't get it. I'm just a mean person. All right. Question number four, Doris. This one you're playing for The Bible is a Catholic Book by Jimmy Akin. The Bible is a Catholic Book by Jimmy Akin. Doris, true or false, Mormon baptism is not accepted by the Catholic Church. Doris, true or false, Mormon baptism is not accepted by the Catholic Church.
It is not, so it's true.
That is correct.
Yep. She's correct.
Yeah, the we have this from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith in 2001. Came out with a brief document, the question of the validity of the baptism conferred in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, saying that it is indeed invalid based upon their false conception of God. Because their conception of God is so radically different than the Christian understanding of God, it cannot possibly be that when they baptize in the name of what they say might be Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, or God, it cannot possibly be the same kind of baptism that Jesus instituted.
Good job, Doris. You just won The Bible is a Catholic Book by Jimmy Akin. Now you're playing for Meeting the Protestant Challenge, Carlo's second book, Meeting the Protestant Challenge. True or false, Doris? Once we die, we are completely outside of time. Doris, true or false? Once we die, we are completely outside of time.
I'm going to go with false.
Good answer. That was a tricky one, man, because you can be thinking completely outside of our experience of time. Like if you're assuming our experience of time, well, then that would be a true statement.
Yeah.
Because the souls separated from the body in the afterlife, the experience of quote-unquote time is different than what we experience in what Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI called terrestrial time, our time, right? But it is false if you're saying time in general, like, so the blessed in heaven, the souls in purgatory, and even the angels are not completely outside of time in the way that God is. That's atemporality, because there is still some change involved for separated souls as well as the angels.
Doris, you're killing it.
Fantastic.
You're doing great. All right, I'm going to go a little bit quickly just because we're make sure we get you all the questions. You're now playing for Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. That is Carlo's first book. True or false, Doris, baptism must be done in fresh water. Doris, true or false, baptism must be done in fresh water. Wow, no hesitation. I actually had to look this one up. I didn't know.
Yeah,
I
mean, because you have to ask the question, well, what constitutes fresh? And what is the, you know, the where was the boundary after which you cross? It's no longer fresh and thus no longer valid. So that would be sort of an arbitrary rule there or a boundary, I would assume there. So any natural water can be used.
Yeah. Yep. Man, you are just killing it. All right. Now you're playing. This is your number seven. You're playing for A Daily Defense by Jimmy Akin. 365 days plus one to becoming a better apologist. True or false, Doris? Fallen angels cannot be saved. Doris, true or false? Fallen angels cannot be saved.
True.
That is correct. They cannot be saved.
You looked confused when you said,
I was looking at something else. I was actually looking at the Second Council of Constantinople and Canon 9, where it states that if anyone says or holds that the punishment of the demons and of impious men is temporary, let him be anathema. That is to say, it is forbidding and rejecting the belief that the demons can be possibly saved at the end of time in the final judgment. So it's rejecting the idea that the demons, which are in eternal torment now, will not end up repenting and be saved at the end of time. So it's rejecting the idea of universalism.
Doris, great job. And actually, because now I feel like I have taken a lot of abuse about how bad my questions were for this quiz, I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to have Carlo, right on the spot, make up a true or false question for you. And if you get it right, I'm going to give you Joe Heschmeyer's book, Pope Peter. Can you make up? I want to see if you can make up a true or false question.
Okay.
Are you ready, Doris? This is a bonus. This is a bonus.
Ready.
Here we go.
Hard.
All right.
True or false? Cy Kelly is an amazing Catholic Answers Live host.
That would be true.
Woo!
Yes, I thought she was going to ask for a lifeline on that one. Doris, you did it. Now you've got all seven right. You got Pope Peter by Joe Heschmeyer, and that means we have to give her the free CASA course, too, Beginning Apologetics. We have to. We have to. She got seven right. Oh, Marie. Sister Producer Marie's going to be so mad at me. Look at how she's looking at me. She's so mad at me right now, Doris. But I don't. Okay. I will.
Been influenced by pop psychology that everybody must win?
Yes, I have. As a matter of fact, and I want Anthony to get a participation ribbon and a trophy and all of that. Doris, what grade do you teach again?
Well, I only teach on weekends. I'm a project manager as a trade, but I teach religion class on weekends, the second grade.
Awesome.
First communion.
Oh God, bless you. Yeah. Good for you. I guess I wasn't listening well at the beginning. Nick is laughing at me now, that's great. Good for you. I think that I'm so.
Well, you said second grade teacher. You didn't specify.
Yeah.
Which but kind preparing. Of
well, I tried to, but you know.
No, I was talking to Cy here, Doris. I was saying Cy just said second grade teacher, so you were correct.
But yeah. I think it's just great that you give up that time on the weekends and go and prepare second graders to receive the Lord. God bless you, Doris. Thanks. And I don't care how mad Marie is at me. I'm glad you got the free course.
It's a privilege to teach them.
Well, God bless you and thank you. Bye.
Okay. Thank you, guys. It's been fun.
Amen.
Oh, it was
has.
Fun for
God
me.
God bless you, Doris.
It was fun for you. Man, I don't know. I'm going to be cringing the whole way home thinking about my questions.
Now you will know how I feel.
What?
Every time after I come on Catholic Answers Live.
Does it take you a while to wind down after you're on Catholic Answers Live?
Oh, indeed, because you're going through all of the questions that you answered and you realize, oh, I stepped on a landmine there. Oh, I almost stepped on a landmine there. Whew.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I should have said that a little bit better. Oh, I forgot to say that.
Yeah.
Oh, this person's going to critique me this way. Oh, that person's going to critique me that way.
but still, for the people have sincere questions about Jesus and his church.
Amen.
And
that's why we exist, to try to answer those questions.
Yeah, I think you got to be a little easier on yourself.
Well, I don't know about that.
I should have asked Doris if Carlo is a great apologist. Then she could have got another book, and I could have made Marie even madder at me. Carlo, thanks for doing it.
Well, thanks for having me, Cy. It was a joy as always, my friend. It's a blast. I have a good time doing this.
Congratulations on the new book, Purgatory is for Real. Good news about the afterlife for those who aren't perfect yet.
Thank you.
Available now at shop.catholic.com. You want to give us any insights into what's in the book before we go? If I pick up this book, what am I going to find inside of it?
Purgatory is real.
Yeah.
And it's good news, especially for us who aren't perfect yet, possibly when we die.
Can I avoid it?
Yes, you can.
I mean, I know it's good news because
you have to achieve a high level of sanctity such that there are no impediments to the immediate entrance into the beatific vision, such that there are no remnants of sin remaining on the soul that would need to be purified before entering into heaven.
I think I'm almost there.
Hey, man, keep working at it. It's possible.
It is. That's the thing is, the saints show
all
us that it is possible.
All things are possible with God.
Amen. All things are possible with God. And so many great saints have taught us, you don't have to die with sin, with any sin at all. Some have done it.
We should be striving for that perfection like the Heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew 5:48. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect.
Yeah, and a great example of that, St. Joseph, whose year this is.
That's right.
Thanks, Nick. You did a great job on all the game show sound. Thanks, Marie. Sorry I made you mad. She's not looking at me. Mary, you're a superstar. Thank you very much for doing the video. Carlo Broussard has been our guest. He's an apologist here at Catholic Answers. If you'd like him to come and speak wherever you are, just go to Catholic AnswersSpeakers.com.
I'm ready, man.
He'll
Come
wear a
on.
Mask. If you make him. He's if like, nah, I don't want to. All right. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. We'll see you next time right here. Now the Gans is live.